You're listening to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian, written and read by J.R. Murdock. For more information, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdock.com. Celine ducked through a large opening that disappeared into what looked like an enormous closet. She must have gone in there to put on clothes now that someone else had shown up. Billy had a hard time grasping why she was so comfortable around him, but she must have spent a great deal of time alone with him. It was definitely something they'd need to talk about. Jack appeared in the doorway, his eyes wide and looking excited. He wore a shiny blue shirt and very clean white pants. He had on an odd hat, also blue, with a big feather in it.
"Billy, are you awake?"
"Hey, Jack," Billy said weakly.
Jack ran and jumped on the bed.
"Billy, you're awake! Man, you're a hero! You know that?" "He just Billy. He no hero."
Fats strode slowly into the room. He wore his black outfit with the white trim.
"Oh, come on, Fat. You know what Billy did. The whole city does. Billy, you're amazing. It took us an hour just to get through the crowd surrounding this building to get in here. All the papers are talking about you, and shouters all over town have been giving people updates as to how you're doing. The city's going to flip when they find out you're awake."
Jack had spoken so fast, Billy couldn't be sure he took it all in. Celine had said something about a crowd around the building. Could those be the adoring fans?
"Let's get you up so you can see for yourself. This is great."
"Jack, it's not great,"
Fat mumbled. Jack slid his arms under Billy's and tried to lift him up, but was quite unsuccessful.
"What are you doing? That hurts," Billy complained.
"But Billy, you gotta see this. It's amazing. I've never seen anything like it. Come on, Fat, help me get him up."
"Leave him alone." Celine walked back into the bedroom wearing a green sleeveless gown and putting her hair up.
"He's in no condition to go anywhere. I just want to take him over to the balcony so we can see all the people. I would never have believed if I hadn't seen it. Come on, Billy."
With Fat and Jack's help, Billy got to his feet. Each step proved to be pure agony. The cut in his calf had healed, but still pounded with pain as he stepped on it. All his muscles protested his every movement, and all he wanted to do was lie back down. But Jack wasn't taking no for an answer, despite the berating he got from Celine. The sun felt wonderful, and as soon as Billy felt it on his skin, he stopped and closed his eyes. He just wanted to soak it in for a moment. Jack didn't say anything, and Billy could hear it. A soft murmuring like a distant crowd. Almost like the sound from the stadium, but more distant.
"You're gonna flip when you see this, Billy. You really are."
Jack nudged Billy closer to the balcony. Billy looked down into a mass of people that he couldn't grasp. He had seen the street from the ground, and he'd seen it from the top of the tower in the evening, but during the daylight hours it was quite different. It was also quite different with all the streets jam-packed with people. Vendors forced their way through the throng of people, selling their wares. Mostly food, but Billy saw other items being sold as well. A shriek wailed up from the crowd. Billy feared someone may have been burned or run over by a vendor, but he saw a woman pointing skyward. Billy looked up, but he only saw more sky. More screams and yells rose up from the crowd. Billy scanned the crowd to see what could be happening. With so many people packed into the streets, any number of things could go wrong, and he wouldn't want anyone to get hurt if they were all just waiting
to see you. "That's right, Billy. Each and every one of those screams is for you. They love you."
"Love me?"
"Wave. That's what they want. They all want to know you're all right."
Billy waved to the crowd. More screams erupted from below. Billy could swear the screams were of pain, but he could make out no sign of violence happening. The crowd surged and arms flailed in response to his wave. They were all just waiting to see him. A wave of dizziness overcame him. Fat and Jack tried to hold him up, but he fell to the ground.
"I told you this wasn't a good idea. You'd better hope he's not hurt. If he is,
I'm fine," Billy mumbled.
"Oh, Billy."
Celine leaned down and kissed Billy.
"See, he's fine. He's just a little beat up, but he's a tough one. You don't need to worry about him."
Billy's vision cleared enough for him to see Celine cast an evil glare at Jack.
"Fine. Get him up and put him in the chair at the desk."
Jack's face appeared in Billy's.
"Hey, buddy, can you get up? Let's get you over to that chair."
Billy struggled, again with Jack and Fat's help, to get into the chair. Celine put a glass of water in his hand and a chalky white tablet. Billy drank the glass of water. He hadn't realized just how thirsty he had been. He rolled the tablet between his fingers.
"What's this?"
"Seth gave me a bunch of those. They're to help you sleep and take away the pain."
Take his pain away? Help him sleep? Pain defined a barbarian. Gave him his edge. That must be why he was so groggy, these pills. Billy looked at it and tossed it out onto the balcony.
I won't be needing those anymore.
Jack smiled and laughed.
See, I told you he was a tough one.
Billy, Celine said sternly, Seth said you needed to take all of the pills.
I really don't want to go to sleep anymore. I'd quite like to eat. Fat, why don't we go to your place and get something? The food was really quite good.
Fat's eyes widened.
My place? Are you kidding? It's been full ever since people find out I know you. We no get in there.
But you own the place, Jack said. What do you mean?
I mean, there's so many people we no get in. I lucky to get out. Getting in much more difficult.
Celine sat on the desk and crossed her legs.
If Billy wants to eat there, I think we should eat there. The only trouble would be getting him there. The streets are jammed, and there's no way they'll let him just walk out there without mobbing him.
Don't you have a dragon that can fly us there?
Jack asked. Celine thought for a moment.
No, Ateo sort of took off with it. But we may be able to call Stump and see if he can fly us there. I know he's busy, but he'd be quite happy to know Billy's awake. Perhaps he can take us there.
After calling Ronald Stump, Celine had changed into a more appropriate dress, a long silvery gown with sparkles and a low-cut neckline, with her shoulders covered up with rabbit fur. She'd even managed to convince Billy to don a pair of black trousers and a sky-blue linen shirt. She protested strongly when he wanted to take his axe, but he did get her to agree to allow him to take his dagger. Fat and Jack were already dressed for the occasion. Billy was surprised to discover that his penthouse had access to the roof. It made sense, though, when he saw Stump's dragon parked there with the pilot at the bottom of the stairs waiting. He bowed and tipped his hat when he saw them arrive, and the dragon gave a small snort from its long black snout.
"Mr. Stump awaits for you inside," the pilot said as he motioned for the party to ascend the stairs to the cabin on the dragon's back.
Billy had visions of his first taxi ride flash through his mind, and he wondered how different being on the back of a dragon would be. He'd always thought of dragons as conquests, and beasts to kill to feed the village. He'd never imagined them as transportation.
"This one looks even better than King Seth's," Jack commented.
"What does it feel like?" asked Billy.
"Oh, Billy, buddy, you're going to love this. I've flown before, but never on a dragon. It's so smooth."
"How much is it like a taxi?"
"About as much as a rowboat is like a schooner."
Billy had never been on a rowboat, or a schooner, whatever a schooner was, but he had to assume that Jack wouldn't lead him astray. It had taken Billy several minutes to ascend the stairs to the roof, but those were stable and didn't move. Each breath the dragon took caused the steps of the cabin to sway and move. He felt as if the dragon was watching him and inhaling or exhaling each time he tried to move, and he had to stop and wince as pain flared anew. He was glad the rest were patient, all save Fat, who sighed several times as Billy had to stop. He eventually made it to the top of the stairs, but no longer felt as hungry as he had when he started. At least he'd be able to find a seat and relax. For that he was thankful. But looking into the cabin, he feared to sit on anything. Everything was black and gold and marble and lavish. The cabin, despite being smaller, made the penthouse look quite inexpensive by comparison. It was obvious that no expense was spared in the creation of this cabin. From the gold trim bar set in the far wall, to the leather couches, to the marble pillars that seemed unnecessary and out of place. The floor had marble tiles inlaid with gold stump symbols, and the ceiling tiled with gold leaf mirrors. Billy felt dizzy and swayed. Jack caught Billy's arm.
"Easy there, big fella. Let's get you sat down."
Billy allowed Jack to help him to one of the couches. Though soft and cushiony, his body rebelled at being lowered down. His muscles throbbed and his bones hurt. He wished he could appreciate the lavishness of the cabin, but all he could think about was pain. And food. Food. That was it. He had to keep his mind on food. If he concentrated hard enough, the pain ebbed slightly, and he could... Celine placed her hand on Billy's leg as she sat down. Billy grimaced and sucked air through his teeth.
"I'm sorry," she said, and quickly pulled her hand away. "I really think you should stay here and rest."
"I've rested enough. I'll get better quicker if I'm out and about. Barbarians always ride home after a battle, or they get left behind."
That wasn't so true, but he didn't want to stay in Iman's place. He just couldn't think of an easier way to get out of there. At least for a little while he'd be out. He could almost feel Iman's evil rubbing off and staining his very being. He didn't like it, not one bit.
"Billy, it's good to see you're up and about. Is there anything you need that hasn't been gotten for you yet?"
Billy looked up to see Stump walk into the room from a back room, flanked by Carolyn and Jorge, all three impeccably dressed. The cabin, now that Billy looked around, could have a couple more rooms,
How much could something like this cost, and why would Stump need anything like a dragon to carry him from place to place? Walking was good enough, wasn't it?
No, I'm okay.
Billy's voice sounded weak as he spoke. Don't trouble yourself for anything. I'm flipping the bill here. You just sit back and relax as much as you can. I'll be honest with you, Billy. I didn't think you'd pull through. Seth must have worked some powerful magic to keep you around. Either that, or you're a hell of a lot stronger than I've given you credit for. Being that King Seth wanted to keep you out for 2 weeks, not just one, I'd say I was wrong. Billy nodded as Mr. Stump sat down. Carolyn and Jorge took seats at the far end of the room and just watched. Billy wondered where the rest of the entourage that he'd first seen with Stump had gotten off to. Perhaps the dragon could only carry so many. Anxiety grasped Billy as he heard Stump say, "We're ready to go." And the pilot closed the door to the cabin. "Yes, sir, Mr. Stump. Destination?" "We're headed to the Pang Hao. Do you know how to get there?" The pilot looked confused. "Sir, are you sure you want to go there?" "I've heard stories." "Yes, I'm sure I want to go there," Stump said firmly and cocked his head toward Fat, who sat with his arms crossed and a defensive look on his face. "Yes, sir, my apologies," said the pilot, and he disappeared through a hidden door. Billy felt his stomach jump into his throat as the dragon stood and leapt off the tower. "This is the best part of owning a dragon. Not everyone can handle the takeoff, but I love this part." Billy felt sick. Suddenly food didn't sound like such a good idea. Every muscle in his body tensed, raged, relaxed, then repeated the process, causing his nausea to worsen. Now he did want to be back in the penthouse, resting and relaxing. He could see the building speeding by as they shot downward like a rain of arrows on an enemy. He felt Celine's hand grip his as the dragon leveled out, smashing them all to their seats. He started breathing again.
"Just relax," she whispered in his ear. "We'll be there in no time."
Just as Celine promised, they landed on the roof of the Pang Hao only minutes later. Though stiff and sore, Billy couldn't get off the dragon quickly enough. Perhaps Fat had a room that would be safe to sleep in when the rest went back to the penthouse. Perhaps, but Billy knew he couldn't count on that. Fat's sour expression had never changed during the short trip. "I don't think I've ever eaten here," Stump said as he got off the dragon, followed closely by Carolyn and Jorge. Carolyn said in a flat tone,
"No, you have never eaten here."
Ronald laughed. "Thanks. Come on, everyone. Let's eat. I called ahead and had them clear a room for us."
"You what?"
Fat blurted, his body jerking to a halt. He spun and looked angrily at Stump. "I called ahead. I figured with Billy's celebrity, we could use a private room."
"You call my staff? Why you no tell me? So I call. You make me look like idiot."
Fat waved his finger in Stump's face. "You know, you might want to stop doing that."
"Why I stop? You give me one good reason why I stop. This is my place. I do what I like here. Your brother gone now. I no have to listen to anyone."
Stump held up his hand to stop Fat's tirade, but put his hand inside his robe. He pulled out a document. "I wanted to save this for later, Fat. You see, Iman, being my brother, had to turn over all his assets to me." Fat's eyes widened. "I know how he's treated you, and how difficult he's made it for you to own your own place. Iman Stump used the Stump name and preyed on innocent people. Now, I can't do this for everyone he's wronged, but I know he's done more to you over the years than any of us would care to know. So, Fat, if you'll allow me, I'd like to present you with this. The deed to the Pang Hao." Fat's jaw dropped, and he stood silent for several long moments.
I don't know what to say. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Stump. Come on, there's an empty room. Dinner on me.
Before anyone else could move, Fat raced inside and started barking orders to the staff, as well as placing orders for food. Billy was just happy to be out of the penthouse, and now off the dragon. Billy couldn't eat with his usual gusto, and found himself mostly fidgeting with his food and longing for his axe and pack. He kept thinking he should just leave and head back to the north, but he knew his mom wouldn't like that if he did. She said there was adventure here for him, but eating dinner wasn't an adventure. Even though his body would take weeks more to recover, he longed to be on his way to the next adventure. Fat busied himself with making sure Stump and his assistants were fully attended to. Jack, Celine, and Billy all benefited from the constant attention at their table, but Fat gave his attention to Stump.
"Billy," Celine said softly, leaning in closer to him, "is everything all right?"
He didn't want to tell her anything that might upset her meal, but on the other hand, he felt he needed to confide in someone. Tell her all his heart's desires. Could he tell her that he just wanted to get up right now and walk out? He didn't even know what she wanted of him.
Was she somehow tied to him because he saved her life? Was he now tied to the city because he saved the city? She patted his hand. We can talk later. It's been a few days since you've had solid food. Perhaps that's why you're not hungry. Just try to relax.
Billy smiled at her and remained silent. Perhaps he could tell her another time. When they were alone. He wondered, would she listen? She was a famous singer, even in the North. She was a powerful person. He didn't deserve such attention, did he? Was doing his job worthy of all this attention? Looking at the rest of the table, he saw smiling faces. People who were happy and comfortable, where they were, and who they were with. Billy barely knew any of them, yet they all seemed to trust him fully and openly. They welcomed him in their group, and saw to it that his recovery went well. Billy could feel the caring from these people in a way he hadn't felt since leaving home, in a way he'd only known from his family. Did his mom want this to become his new family? A family with which to share his adventures? Mr. Stump clanged his fork on a drinking goblet.
I wanted to take a moment to extend, yet again, another thank you to Billy, for everything you've done for Celine, for me, and for the city of Sethopolis.
Billy stood, shakily, as the rest cheered. They quickly quieted down.
Thank you all for everything you've done for me, I guess.
Billy cleared his throat.
I guess I'm just a bit overwhelmed. I don't know what to say. Thank you, I suppose. I've never had so much attention. Unless you count that time the Horde was chased out of Langstania, back some years ago, but that was a different kind of attention. This, I'm not used to. I'm used to doing my job, and that's it. What I'm trying to say is that I really appreciate all this attention, but I don't think it's for me.
He looked down at Celine, to Jack and Fat, to Ronald and his assistants.
I really didn't expect this when I came to the city. I expected to find adventure, but on my own terms. Mr. Stump, that penthouse is really nice, but it's a place where someone like Celine should live. Not me. I'd be just as happy living in a root cellar as to that place. Celine, you're beautiful and everything, but you scare me with the attention you give me. I don't know that I'm ready for that. Jack, Fat, you two have lived in the big city for a long time. I haven't. I don't know that I could keep up with you two and all you do. I've always done things alone, and I guess that's the way I'd like to keep things.
Billy's balance faltered. Someone caught him from behind.
Sorry I'm late, everyone. I had some things to attend to. Looks like I got here just in time.
Above his head, Billy saw the grinning maw of Phil. Phil lowered Billy into his chair, then took up a seat beside him. The rest sat in stunned silence.
Billy, I know what it's like to be an outsider. I'm as far outside as you can get. When I got here, it was all torches and pitchforks and cries of kill the monster. Of course, none of that did any good against my armored scales, but that's not the point. The point is, when I got here, I had nothing, and no one, so I can understand some of what you feel. But what you need to see, and are failing to see, is that people here care about you. They want to do things for you. All you need to do is ask. If you were to tell Mr. Stump that that penthouse is too extravagant, I'm sure he'd find something more suitable to your needs. If you told Celine things are moving too fast, though I can't imagine why you'd want to say something like that, I'm sure she'd understand. As for Fat and Jack, I'm sure they'd love to show you more of the city and help you get to know the places.
Nods of agreement resounded from around the table.
You see there, Billy? These people are your friends, and in the city, when you're a stranger, those can be hard to come by, and having friends like these can help you get things you truly desire.
That all made sense. Perhaps it was the pills Celine had been giving him that had somehow clouded his mind and made him doubt what was in front of him. There was one person unaccounted for.
What about you, Phil?
Me?
You mentioned how any of the rest would be willing to help me, be my friends. What about you?
For the first time since Billy had met Phil, Phil looked nervous and worried.
That's not an easy question to answer, Billy.
I've got a long time to heal, and I'm not planning on getting back on that dragon anytime soon.
All eyes at the table focused on Phil.
This is something I cannot share here, or now. Tomorrow's another day, and it will be a big day in Sethopolis, I assure you. Why don't you all meet me tomorrow at my store on the south end of town?
Why?
Because tomorrow, I'll have something to show you, and to explain to you. Tomorrow I can answer all your questions, and not ruin the night with lengthy explanations and obscure instructions. Lengthy explanations? Obscure instructions? What did Phil mean by that? Billy wanted to ask. He really did, but his mind said sleep, and he had trouble keeping his head up. He felt Phil's arm catch him as he fell into a deep slumber. He didn't hear any noise in the room other than his own breathing and had to assume he was alone. He stood up and bumped into something that went clattering to the floor. He turned, trying to avoid scattering shards, slipped on spilled water, and fell flat on his back.
Billy! He heard Celine yell from the other room. Billy, are you all right?
Billy's hands felt about his body, and he found he was dressed.
Yes, I'm fine.
Even though he said it, he could feel his head throbbing. The hard floor hadn't been so nice to his head. Light flooded the room, and Celine rushed to his side.
Billy, are you sure? You should have called me. I would have opened the door to give you some light.
Flowers and water had been scattered across the floor. Billy felt the back of his head. He had a lump. He had a headache. He had to get up.
How long have I been asleep?
Not long at all. I spoke with Phil a while ago, and he said to let you sleep. He's waiting for you, though, and said that when you get up, to come over to his store.
Do you know what he needs to show us?
Billy got to his feet. Celine helped, but she mostly got in the way of his standing. Billy credited the food for his renewed strength. His muscles felt better. His head, save the headache he now had, felt clearer. Getting up and out of bed had been the best thing for him. He was certain of that. Celine handed Billy a shirt and pants.
I really don't know. Put these on, though. Fat and Jack are already here. Now that you're up, we should head over. Phil sounded as if he were in a hurry.
But how are we going to get there? I really don't want to trouble Mr. Stump by flying in his dragon.
Actually, Billy didn't want to fly in a dragon again. He hadn't enjoyed the experience the day before and had no desire for a repeat performance.
Oh, Ronald showed me where the tunnel entrance is. There's a transport that runs beneath the city that we can get to and avoid the crowds surrounding the building.
Surrounding?
Oh, you don't know. Since everyone found out that you'd left the building yesterday and are now awake, even more people have shown up just to get a glimpse of you.
Billy sighed. He didn't want to be a spectacle. Going below ground sounded like a great idea and a way to avoid all the attention. If he was to stay in the city, as both his mom and Phil had suggested, and the rest of his friends strongly advocated, he would have to get used to it sooner or later. For now, he preferred later.
Well,
Billy pulled on his shirt.
Let's go.
The underground tunnel proved to be interesting. Several small stations were located at the stump addresses, and a trolley system pulled by albino lizards transported workers and residents from building to building. It wasn't the fastest means of travel, and Billy was thankful for that. Fat and Jack made sure that no one got too close to Billy or Celine. Billy felt quite silly having small guys like those two being his bodyguards, but they took the task quite seriously.
Ronald isn't going to make it to whatever Phil is going to show us. He told Phil that last night when we left the restaurant,
said Celine, as they got out at a building at the far end of the tunnel. Billy only nodded and followed the few people up the stairs. He enjoyed the chance to stretch his legs and work the blood back into his muscles. He knew he needed exercise, not rest, to get better, and he intended to get as much as he could, even if he was cramped up inside a penthouse. At the top of the stairs, Fat and Jack waited for the rest of the people to clear away. Then they led Billy and Celine across the lobby, a lobby that nearly matched the one in the tower where Billy now resided, and out the front door. Activity on the street was slow, and the sun had nearly gone down. Billy knew he'd slept most of the day away. He didn't like that, but there wasn't much he could do about that now. Quickly, Fat and Jack each grabbed Celine and Billy and pulled them across the street and into the Smith convenience store. This one, like the first and only one Billy had been in, looked exactly the same. The same shelves, the same store, the same goods, the same everything. Jack whispered loudly to Celine,
Phil said he'd be downstairs and to clear the building. Fat and I have to take care of that. The stairs are over there.
Jack pointed to a doorway on the far end of the store.
You and Billy go down there, and we'll catch up to you.
Celine took Billy's arm and led him to the door. She opened it, but Billy held it and allowed her to enter first. It contained a well-lit stairwell, so Billy didn't feel the need to investigate before allowing her to enter. She smiled up at him.
Thank you, Billy.
Then she stood on her tiptoes and kissed him. Billy flushed. At the bottom of the stairs, Phil waited, standing patiently with his arms crossed. His expression was somber and sad, at least as sad as it could be, with dagger-like teeth protruding from his mouth. He offered them only a hint of a smile.
Thank you for coming. I've already spoken with King Seth and Ronald Stump. They will not be able to make it. Are Jack and Fat clearing out the store?
Yes, Celine said with a nod and took Phil's hand. What's this all about? You seem so melancholy. I've never known you to be like this.
Please, Phil, is something bothering you? Is there something you need?
Let's wait until Fat and Jack can join us. I'd prefer to tell you all together.
Phil offered them a seat at the table. On it sat the four orbs that Billy, Fat, and Jack had gotten from Iman and used during their job. Phil had seemed quite interested in them when he'd seen them. Apparently this was to be a main point of discussion. Also on the table lay a scroll, bound with a black ribbon. At the far end of the room lay something huge, embedded in the wall, and covered over with a black curtain, or tarp, or something. Billy pulled out a chair for Celine, then took a seat himself next to her. It just felt right that he sit next to her, but he didn't know why. But it felt right and it felt good. He only twitched slightly when she placed her hand on his thigh. He didn't know if he should sit still, pull away, or just relax. He chose instead to stay tense and try to keep his eyes from bulging out too much. Phil gave a polite snicker.
All clear,
Jack said as he and Fat came down the stairs. Phil said nothing and motioned for them to sit down.
What's all this?
Please, sit down. I'll explain everything.
Fat and Jack sat opposite Billy and Celine. Phil remained standing.
Thank you all for coming. I've got some big news. I'm going home.
Celine's jaw dropped. Jack yammered something. Fat looked confused, but Billy said the only coherent thing.
Why are you leaving now?
Phil motioned for everyone to quiet down.
Let me explain everything. All of you know I'm not from here. By here, I don't mean Sethopolis. I mean from this planet. I'm actually stranded here. When I saw the stones Iman had used...
Phil motioned to the stones on the table.
I knew I finally had a way to leave. I could think of nothing else but leaving since I saw them. I can't say that it was an easy decision, but it's something I've needed to do for a long time.
Looking at Billy, Phil said,
I know what I said to you last night must seem hypocritical of me.
What?
By telling you to stay among friends, and then me, up and leaving so suddenly. I want you to understand that I've been here for a long time, and I've always felt out of place. I don't belong in the city any more than I belong on this planet.
Celine started to stand up, but chose to sit up straight instead.
Phil, that's not fair. I've always tried to make you feel part of this world.
But try as you might, Celine, I don't belong. I'm nothing like any of you physically, and there's so much I know that I can't tell you. Even telling you where I'm from, I violated multiple laws that I might have to face when I return home.
Celine cried, Then don't go!
You must understand how I feel. People look at me in fear. They run away. They don't even try to understand me.
I didn't.
Billy, you are the first person I've met that hasn't. As for the rest of this world, I've never seen the same result. Though you try to make me fit in, Celine, the fact remains I am an outcast and always will be. This isn't where I belong. I belong among the stars, and it is there I must now return.
Tears streamed down Celine's face. Jack and Fat just sat dumbfounded. Phil picked up the scroll and looked at Billy.
I thought long and hard what to do with this, Billy. At first, I thought I should hand this to you. Something to get you on your feet. Supply you with anything you might need. But after your speech last night, I know it's not what you'd want me to do. You wouldn't want me to think of you first because you're not comfortable with people doing that.
Phil turned and faced Jack and handed him the scroll.
Jack? This is the deed and ownership of all my land and all my stores. I want you to carry on the chain as if you were me. Go out to the public. Declare your right. You'll never have to work for anyone again. Ever.
Jack's jaw remained dropped as he held the scroll like a delicate infant, not wanting to wrinkle the paper.
I'm the smith now? Me?
Phil laughed heartily.
Jack, it's all yours. Run it well.
But what about you? You're just leaving, then?
Billy asked.
Yes, Billy. Just like that. I must. If I delay at all, I fear I may change my mind and stay.
Then stay, Celine snapped.
I've told you, I cannot. I've overstayed as it is, and now that I have the means, I must go quickly. Jack, I must apologize to you now. You'll lose just one store. This was the first one, but it won't be the last. Take some of the money in the bank accounts that I've changed over to your name and rebuild this very site.
I don't understand,
Jack said, looking befuddled. Phil only stood up and walked over to the black tarp and pulled it free. Beneath was something that none of them could identify. It looked like a boat of some kind, but completely enclosed.
This is my ship that I'll sail back to the stars. Unfortunately, when I crashed, it embedded itself into the ground. I claimed the land of my own and built a house over it. That house eventually became the Smith line of stores as the city grew and spread. I'm afraid that once I leave, it will level the store.
Jack's eyes widened in understanding.
Oh! Oh, indeed.
Phil scooped up the four orbs from the table.
It is time.
Celine sprang from her chair and hugged Phil. He returned the hug and said,
I must go. You know that I cannot stay.
She sniffed, I know. And she turned and ran back up the stairs. Fat said nothing as he shook Phil's hand and left. Jack merely said, thank you, and goodbye. Billy found himself alone with Phil. Someone he could understand. Someone he could look up to. Literally.
Thank you, Phil.
Billy, you'll do well in Scythopolis if you only give it a chance. And don't be so quick to dismiss Celine either. She's fallen hard for you. I've known her since she started her career, and she's not a fickle one. Embrace what you've been given, not only by her, but by Mr. Stump as well. You have a fine set of friends there. You're a lucky man.
Billy shook Phil's hand and looked into his beady black eyes.
I am.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to The Continuing Adventures of Billy Barbarian. For more information on this book and its author, please visit ofgnomesanddwarves.com or jrmurdoch.com. And again, thank you for listening.